It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I'm still coming to you from elk camp up here. We had our morning hunt. We're sitting around the campfire. Actually, me and my buddy Kenneth Shepherd, we're a few feet from the campground. But we've been up here for our second hunt is just about wrapped up. Kenneth is just wrapping up his first year of guiding for elk with us. And I tell you what, he took to it, had a good time. Kenneth, what do you think about being up here in these mountains, buddy?
I think we're closer to heaven than I thought we were going to be.
Well, it's different guiding a person than it is being by yourself. It's one thing to go up on your own, Kenneth, and hunt, but when you've got the responsibility of somebody else, it puts a different slant. I won't say a negative, but it just puts a aura of authority. You know, you got to take care of things, right?
Yes, sir. You got to be on point at all times. You know, you just keep an eye on them and make sure they don't get in trouble.
One of the guys killed a nice bull last night. Now, that was maybe your first retrieval of a bull, but it was in some really thick stuff, some deadfalls. A bull elk, when you shoot them, they seem like they always go uphill. Now, but that was a rodeo. We got him, had about, four or five strong guys pulling. I was a light man. I was keeping y'all well, your paths lit up, and got him out of there.
Yes, we did. That was quite a chore, wasn't it? It took a little longer than I thought it was going to, but you picking that path for us made it a lot easier. Well, we had to go over those logs, and that was going to be, we needed a winch, what we needed.
Needed a winch with a long cable.
Yes, sir.
It's about time for breakfast now, Kenneth. Old David Hansen, which many of you folks that are listening have fished with David. You know him, David Hansen, down at Tewakene Catfish Guide, a good friend of mine. I guess if we don't start moving forward, Kenneth, we may miss out.
We may miss breakfast here pretty quick, but it goes pretty fast. If he's got the gravy up there, for sure.
Well, folks, let's shift gears a little bit. I'm under the cook tent with David Hansen, who all of you know. You fish with old David. David, that's as good a breakfast as I've ever had, man. Tell them what we had.
We had fried potatoes, sausage and gravy, scrambled eggs, and fried biscuits.
I tell you what, it's all good, but I'm looking down at that old Dutch kettle with that gravy, sausage gravy.
Yes.
That's hard to beat. There's nothing left but what a little on the spoons right now. But we've had some awesome meals up here this week. I mean, fried fish. Well, each week a big fish fry from some of your and my Tewakene channel cat. But you're going to be back on them catfish when we get back, aren't you?
Oh, I'll be jumping up and down on them when I get home. I'm kind of in withdrawals right now.
Let's tell our folks back home some of the stuff we've had. Of course, last night, it's just a standard fare in elk camp. If you kill an elk, you that's the night you plan to be steak night. Well, they killed a nice bull last night, one of our hunters did, and that was the night for the steaks, but you had them ready when we got back in and cooked them up to the tea. Steak night, we've had two fish fries?
Two fish fries. Gonna have fish again tonight?
Ooh, I'm ready for that now. Up here in the mountains, I bet you that's some of the freshest channel cat that's ever been eaten on this mountain up here.
Probably so, you know, straight from Tewakene 2 weeks ago to here.
Yeah, 18 hours from Tewakene if you were to drive straight through to get up here for the catfish. Let's see, what else we had here, man? It's all been good.
We've had hamburgers. We've had different kinds of vegetables, from squash to two or three different kinds of coleslaw, cobbler, peach cobbler that'll make your tongue beat your brains out.
Let's dwell on that cobbler a minute. And that's a pretty simple way to make it, but man alive, is it good. Of course, up here, we really haven't got an oven, but we got a good gas grill, I should say. Tell them how you do that.
Well, it's very simple. Get you a can of peaches, you know, just for a small batch. Pour the juice off, pour them in the bottom of your pan. Buy a cheap yellow cake mix. The buttered cake mix is the best, I think. Pour that in there on top of it, spread it out even. Cinnamon, put the cinnamon to it till you think you got too much, and put it in the oven at 350 for about 45 minutes.
That's something that you can, you know, you can cook on a gas grill outside, wherever, and not heat your kitchen up. Or if you, you know, we got a Dutch kettle, you've done it in that too. It's so much easier in the gas grill, but you can take that Dutch kettle and use some coals off the campfire.
Oh yeah, I haven't done a lot of cooking like that. It's once you get your heat all the way around, it's gonna work, you know.
It's very easy to do. Well, I know, you know, you're kind of wrapping up. Folks, I'll tell you again, we're coming to you from Elk Camp. We've had a couple of segments here from our camp, but we're going to try to give you some interviews with different folks. But, David, you've done a whale of a job, buddy, cooking up here. And we got another day or so, and then we'll be heading back to Texas, won't we?
Yes, sir. And I'm kind of looking forward to getting home to see my wife and kids.
Yeah. Me too. It's fun, and camp life is always fun, but it's good to go home. So our next guest is Larry Large, and we are still up here at Elk Camp. We've talked about cooking and what it's like up here in the mountains north of Steamboat Springs, but Larry has probably forgotten more about elk hunting than most of us will learn. It's not rocket science, some of the stuff is, but the elk each year, they react differently, and we want to talk about how they, during the rut, you know, different stages. Larry, we've wrapped up our hunt this year, and I've never seen the elk act quite like they have the last couple of weeks. And I know up here the last 6 years together, you haven't either, right?
No, I've never seen them do this. We've got elk that you know good and well. It's the time of the year they've got to be breeding. But we've got a lot of elk up here that are not making a sound. I mean, no bugles whatsoever. We got one the other night that called off a mountain with a cow call, had no clue he was even there. He just appeared, never bugled, never did anything. And fortunately, my hunter was alert enough to see him and shoot him, but there is so many elk up here that are just not talking.
You were doing some cow calling and some bugling.
Yeah, I tried it all, you know. Those elk will be up there in their beds up on this mountain for 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The first thing I do is we settle in our stands and let everything kind of quiet down for 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and then I'll go ahead and bugle. If I don't get an answer, I'll wait 15 minutes, bugle again, and then I get real heavy into the cow calling. And my theory is that when that bull's up there in his bed, he hears all this talk going on down there in the meadow. When he stands up, he's going to come that direction just to see what's going on down there. Whether he's bugling, whether he's breeding, it doesn't matter. He's going to come to all of that noise just to see what's going on.
And then you called, actually, I would give anything to have a video of a calling sequence that you did up here with one of the hunters. You told me about it. I can picture how it happened, but it was a cow, and a cow coming across down here at a place that we call, it's a meadow down there, and actually had 1 foot in the air. I would love to have seen that, and it was indecisive which way to go, and you kind of give it the right direction, right?
Yeah, if I had not a called, once you elk hunt a while and watch the elk, you'd learn their behaviors, what they're thinking, what they're going to do. You watch their ears, you watch their feet. This cow really did not want to come to where we were. It wanted to jump a fence and go down a draw. Well, when it started to pick that foot up, I cow called. You could see those floppy old ears look, and she said, well, I can jump the fence up there a couple hundred yards. I'll go up there a ways and see what's going on. Well, she got up to within about 70, 80 yards of my hunter, which is still too far. She decided to jump the fence. Well, I did a few cow calls, and she said, well, darn it, those guys are up there. There must be something right. So I called her in. Within 40 yards of my hunter, he made a great shot. She went 25 yards. End of story. But without the cow calling, that cow would have not been in my hunter's cooler.
That's something that you learn with years, the calling. But I've learned hunting with you before we started outfitting up here together, and then most definitely here, calling is really, really important. You may not hear the perfect sequence is where you call or you hear a bull. And you call kind of like turkey hunting, and he'll come a little closer, and you know you can hear from his sound where he's coming from. But this year has been way different because we're just not hearing them. Folks, we are about to, well, actually tomorrow we break camp and we start heading back to Texas. But I would like to touch on one thing before we close out, Larry. Duck season, a lot of people listening have hunted with you or know you, you know. But you're going to be hunting down on Cooper for sure, and then some private land this season, right?
Yeah, that's going to kick off 1st of November. We got a little Kansas thing we got to do for 3 weeks on deer hunting, but then it's duck hunting every single day. If it's half as good as it was last year, we're going to whack a bunch of big ducks. And by big ducks, I mean mallards, pintails, gadwalls, some widgeon. I won't know until I get back on the teal situation, but right now I'm kind of really gearing up for those big old green heads and them pintails.
You know, we had you on a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, Larry, talking about teal. I like the kid that teal are a flighty bird, here today and gone tomorrow. And that show, folks, you know, these shows are all archived. You can go to ketr.org. You can listen to all these past shows. Also, folks, I want to remind you the Monday, the first Monday in October, I'm going to be there in Greenville at the Big Library in Greenville, 6 o'clock in the evening. For more information, you can call the Greenville Library, but it's kind of a meet and greet. And I'm going to have my book, Kill the Grill, there. You don't have to buy a book. I'd sure like you to come by, though, and visit with us. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.